It's my right. It's my right as an American to choke myself to death on wine if I want to. Hey, everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, back again for yet another Drunken Dangerous. Now you're probably thinking to yourself, Dangerous, what about the character Q&A? I thought we were getting another part of that. And I did too, but it struck me today that I want to do something else. So I'm going to, and here it is. You've clicked on it. You know, Drunken Dangerous, worst rated erotica. Now, you can't tell me that that's not better than a character Q&A. It is. Shut the hell up. It is. Lie to me, please. Because I'm very excited for this, and you should be too, because I am also admittedly a little afraid. Now, that's not to say that I haven't delved into some very, very, very kinky, dark fetishes, as I've discussed before, on some of these Drunken Dangerouses and in Q&As and things like that. I'm more concerned about, perhaps, the content of some of these stories, and if it may or may not be offensive. So, while I will aim to read these stories in their entirety, if I believe some content is simply too offensive for me to say comfortably, let's say, for example, some of the stories I'm going to read are in the interracial love category, and that just, it seems like a whole can of worms in and of itself. But it's here, so I'm going to try to read it for you if I can. Please don't cancel me. Reading it is not an endorsement of the content herein. Listener discretion is, as always, advised. Listening is consent. Now, from here forward, we're continuing. At your risk. Listen as you will. That being said, I went to Literotica, and I chose a search term to look up, and chose to go via vote score in ascending order. So, the term I chose, seeing how popular this tends to be, especially in, like, when you see how high Yandere Stepmom polls, even if Amazons are winning right now, it's pretty fucking high. I chose to search the term, guess, what term? What term did I search on Literotica that we're going to hear the worst versions of? All right, what would I search? Not my song. Okay, it is MILF. MILF, ladies and gentlemen, today we are getting, oh, and non-binary beings, we all accept you here. We are going to read the worst rated MILF erotics on Literotica. Listening is consent. Please remember, the lawyer I do not have reminded me to say that. So, I think when I say some of these titles, you'll understand why I felt the need to just preface this whole spiel. Oh, yes. I should also add, as Drunken Dangerous, if you haven't been here before and this is your first one, I am very high right now. This is an extremely high reading of erotica. So, although I might seem maybe a little sober or more sober sounding than I think, I am actually incredibly high. Yeah, so here we are. Let me take a drink before I start because this is dicey. This is some risky listening. You know, it is, of course, not safe for work. So if you want to listen to it at work, I mean, like, I used to listen to Not Safe for Works in public all the time. I mean, come on. I know you guys do it too. It's kind of fun and you're like, oh my God, I really shouldn't be doing this. And you end up blushing and it's kind of fantastic and horrible at the same time. Like, listening at the gym is a whole kind of motivation, you know? Mm. this is not generally the kind of non-safe work I'd be looking for, but let's delve into this, shall we? Wish me luck, please. Okay. The first story we are going to read is entitled Lubna. Emirati Arab MILF. It is in the interracial love category. The summary is Somali stud bangs incarcerated Arab friend's mom. All right, are we ready for this? Jabir J. Ali and Mohammed Al Nahyan grew up together in the Overbrook area of metropolitan Ottawa, Ontario. Is this about himself? I feel like this is about him. This is very, very specific. They're in Ontario, so Canadians, this one's for you. This was the hood. Oh, thanks. A place teeming with the minority. Okay, can I just, first warning. A place teeming with, and I quote, the minority types. Oh, okay. Horrible human being alert. The minority types, yes, say. Okay, I'm imagining a very fat old white man writing this and shame masturbating. He's like, yeah, I'm with the minority types. I hate myself. Okay. Especially Somalis and Arabs. And the rest of the Canadian capital turned its nose on the area and those who dwelled there. Now tell me, Canadians listening, are the people from the Canadian capital generally those to sneer on minorities? Yes or no? Because that's, I mean, I would believe it, but that's sad. This was a no-go area as far as decent capital dwellers were concerned. The sort of place that decent folks did not care to set foot in. In the old days, Jay and Muhammad practically ran the place. The two of them were thick as thieves and used to get into a lot of trouble. At 18, though, the two lifelong best friends took radically different paths. Jay Ali's estranged father, Ahmed Ali, came back into his life and encouraged him to walk away from a life of petty crime and take a different path. That's why Jay Ali walked away from the game and enrolled at Algonquin College to study business. Wow, this erotic is so hot, you guys. Racist Canadians, and this guy's going to school. Good for him for bettering his life. He'd always had an entrepreneurial mindset in what it's what helped him become one of the top dealers in Overbrook. Okay. But this time he was putting his skills to good use. Yay, he's getting better. As Jay began his higher education journey, why is it Jay all the time? This is J-A-Y this time, though, so Jay, you're safe. A lot of things became apparent to him. The difference between the men who wear business suits and run mega corporations and the men who stand on the street corners selling dope is quite simply opportunity. Both are ruthless and driven to make money in advance at any cost. But the business guys went to college and learned to do business the correct way. Yeah, like business. The street guys are just as driven, but rarely live long enough to see how the fruits of their labor, no matter how hard they work. Jay Ali was determined not to become a statistic. Is there ever going to be sex? Mohammed Al Nahyan, on the other hand, loved the gangster lifestyle too much. Where's the porn? Okay, I'm getting past all this not porn action. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Let's go past the not porn. This is a lot of not porn, which I see why nobody likes us. Let's see. Oh, here we go. We got Lubna now. This is what it's all about, Lubna and Lubna action. Okay, Lubna. How did I get here? Jabir J. Ali asked himself, and the young Somali-Canadian Muslim stud looked at the curvy, wanton, Emirati Arab Muslim woman. Does anyone else feel like this is a lineup? How specific? Who lay in bed, how tall is she? How much did she weigh on average? Who lay in bed next to him, a beatific smile on her lovely face. The lady in question happened to be Lubna Lulu Al-Nahyan, mother of his incarcerated best friend. This is some Jerry Springer shit. Mohammed Al-Nahyan, currently serving a 10-year bid at the Central East Correctional Center. I feel so good, pee-pee. Lubna said, and she reached for Jay and gently kissed him on the lips. Jay gently kissed her back, feeling guilt and lust in equal measures. After all the wicked things that he and Lubna had done last night, it was just kissing, I looked. He ought to feel more comfortable with her, but there was a bit of awkwardness which Jay simply could not get over. Okay, are you ever... Oh, finally they're gonna fuck. It keeps going without the fucking. Okay. Jay, Habibi, those young women don't know how to handle a man. You don't need them. You need a real woman, Lubna Al-Nahyan said, and she gently laid her hand on the young Somali's thigh, causing him to gasp. A real woman. Jay looked into Lubna's eyes and saw a smoldering passion there. Don't do it. This is your buddy's mother, Jay thought to himself, right before he kissed Lubna. Okay, hypocrite. And that's how it all began. Dot, dot, dot. We shouldn't have done that, Jay said. And Lubna looked at him and grinned. Then her hand traveled from his face down to his crotch. Gently she stroked his long, dark dick. Lust stirred within Jay like a slumbering predator roused by the smell of prey, and he kissed Lubna, then began caressing her curvaceous body. The years had been kind to Lubna, and motherhood and widowhood hadn't taken away any of her raw sensuality, which, in Middle Eastern women, only got better with age. I feel otherwise, Lubna replied, and with that, the voluptuous, bronze-skinned, brown-eyed, and raven-haired beauty rolled on top of Jay, silencing his protest. Jay's eager hands roamed all over Lubna's sinfully sexy body, and he caressed that thick, round ass of hers. Truth be told, Jay had admired Lubna's thick ass from afar many times over the years and couldn't believe his luck. You're on fire, Jay said. Not something you should say when you're making out. That's weird. As he and Lubna began another round, Lubna straddled him and impaled her wet, hairy pussy on his hard dick. That's odd. Last time she surprised Jay by sucking on his dick and balls like there was no tomorrow. Jay caressed Lubna's big round tits, smacked her big ass. As he thrust into her, burying his dick deep inside her. Lubna began riding him hard, grinding on him with an energy that surprised him. Shut up and fuck me, Lubna practically hissed at Jay, and the young man grinned, bucking his hips and slamming his dick into her pussy. Oh, inside of her. Oh, wait, yeah, anyway. Lubna began to moan, loving the feel of the throbbing young dick inside of her. Ever since her husband, Nasir, passed away due to diabetes. Oh, no, I feel bad. Poor Nasir. His diabetes needed to be treated better. Lubna hadn't had any good loving. Now, thanks to her wayward son, Muhammad's handsome Somali friend, Jay, Lubna was happily making up for lost time. Get on all fours, Habibti. I want to see that ass, Jay said. And Lubna shot him a look, and he held her gaze. Smiling, Lubna did as she was told and got on all fours. Jay, an ass man through and true, I don't know if that's a new saying, caressed the Emirati Arab MILF's thicken golden ass. I have to assume that's a typo. It's thicken. Thicken, madam. Oh, your golden ass is thicken. Is that an adjective, a thicken? thick enough, and playfully smacked it, rubbing his long, hard dick against Lubna's bum. Oh, see, it was English. Come on. He entered her with one smooth thrust. Oh, yes, fuck me, Lubna squealed. Sweet! And Jake laughed. Ha, ha, ha. Then went to town on her, grabbing a fistful of her long, curly, dark hair, which was sans hijab for a change. Jay yanked Lubna's head back and slammed his dick into her pussy. He went in balls deep, fucking her with gusto. I wanted to say fucking her with his balls. I wouldn't say that. I'm sorry. Jay watched Lubna's thick round undulate before him. I don't know what's undulating. Her thick round is undulating. As he rammed his dick into her, at long last, he got to have that fabulous fat ass of hers and savored every minute of this. We should have done this a long time ago, Jay said, panting much later after he and Lubna paused. They were exhausted from wantonly fucking for hours. Oh, that's disappointing. You're not even going to do, like, the cum shot and shit? Boo. Boo. See, this is why it's always the disappointing nobody is coming. It's like we fucked and then it's just, all right, they're talking. They were exhausted from fucking. Lubna flashed him a grin and nodded. Jay winked at her, and then just like that, they began another round. Much later, because they're not going to fucking tell you. Why would you want to hear the good part? After eating a nice meal of traditional Emirati dishes, consisting of... Oh, this is what I wanted to know. What did they eat? Al-jabab bread, falafel balls, and lamb kebab. Okay, that sounds good as fuck. I didn't want to have Jay and his long, dark dick. But now I do, because look, that food sounds bomb as hell. Falafel and lamb kebab. I don't know what al-jabab bread is, but it's bread, and bread is awesome. Gave her a hug and then left the Al-Nahyan household. Come back anytime, Habibi, Lubna said from the door, and Jay smiled and nodded respectfully, forgetting his car and driving away. After he respectfully plowed his best friend's mom. Respectful as fuck. Damn, Habibi, how could you? He didn't live in Overbrook anymore and was staying on Cantor Boulevard not far from Algonquin College. Still, he was definitely going to start hanging out in Overbrook a lot more than he normally would. Lubna al-Nahyan was lonely and needed lots of comforting. And as he promised his incarcerated buddy Muhammad, Jay would definitely take excellent care of his mother. Jay, how could you? That's terrible. I can't believe he did that. So that was... Oh, boy. That was something, all right. Okay, so the next one we have, thank God, is not interracial. It is just called The MILF. It's in the Loving Wives category. Very exciting. It's called A Young Man. It's not called A Young Man. Summary is, a young man gets more than he had hoped for. I bet he gets a MILF. Okay, let's see. Introduction. Carol was a MILF. She hadn't always planned on being a MILF. In fact, she and her husband Ted had been told that Ted was infertile and they would never be able to conceive children. So she would never be the M in MILF. She'd only be an ILF. Who could live a life as a terrible ILF? Those ILF and their ilk. ILF just won't do. Sorry for that pun. Okay, really, I do apologize. They both liked sex. Good, me too. Actually, before they were married and continuing on after they were married. Oh, good, before and after. They bought instructional books and videos on sexuality and sexual techniques and studied them. Nothing hotter than a study date with books. They became very proficient at giving one another pleasure. They were continually trying new positions and methods of stimulating their partner and making the most of their sexual relationship. Carol was multi-orgasmic and could go for hours. She was a slut. Ted had great stamina. I feel like we're getting sold. Can I have a threesome with him already? Ted had great stamina and control, and also a rather quick recovery time. But on those occasions when they engage in a sex marathon, they invite hundreds of people. They all get numbers. When Ted reached the point where he was just all fucked out, Carol could keep on going. Well, yes, that's about being a woman. You keep going forever. Whole keeps holing. I mean, congrats. This was certainly not an everyday thing. Well, no fucking shit. I mean, no offense. No matter how much you love sex, most people aren't having a sex marathon every day. Not even from, like, actual chafing, because if you've had a lot of sex, after a while, you will get sore as fuck. Both partners will. The mind is willing and the body is spongy and bruised. Like, you can't fucking do it. Your flesh is all fucked out. It's not possible. And so a sex marathon every day is just not appealing. Unless, like, a foreplay marathon, maybe. Sex marathon, no. But just pure time. How long is a marathon? Like, there's, like, hours. Hours and hours every day? Oof. I'm not a prostitute. I mean, no offense, but, like, that's the only reason I'd be fucking for that long every goddamn day of my life. God, your pussy can't take that much sex. I mean, maybe your pussy can. Tell me if it can in the comments below, and I will fucking give you a round of applause. That's impressive. Anyway, where was I? Wasn't an everyday thing. Both of them had careers and the responsibilities of normal life. Yeah, no shit. Just like I said, so a session of knockdown, drag-out sex until you drop is reserved for relatively rare and special occasions. And let's also be honest, it's not just the careers and responsibilities outside of normal life. As much as you love sex, I really don't think outside of, like, at your most hormonal peak, would you want to be fucking all day every day? It just eventually be like, okay, but can I go do something else? Like, can we watch a movie or something? Nevertheless, it bothered Ted that on those occasions he could not provide his wife with complete satisfaction, nor bring Carol to that all fucked out place where she was simply sexually exhausted. Ted, you're a failure. And so they introduced toys, fantasy, and porn to their marathon sessions. I feel like I'm listening to a married couple's sex therapy. Carol was very attractive. Well, no shit. I mean, unless it's that's your kink, you're probably like, Carol was a dumpy broad. She worked at being attractive, as most people do. Very few of us actually roll out of bed not looking like a smashed porcupine, okay? In the morning, most people, even really hot people, look like dog shit. It's okay. You're not supposed to roll out of bed looking like you just had your makeup done and your hair blown out. You're supposed to look like a piece of shit. A fucking witch that rolled in off the street covered in mud. At least that's me. Anyway. Covered in black cats and pentagrams. I'm sorry, I got all away from this story. Anyway, Carol was a hot bitch. Hence the MILF title. She had long blonde hair. Blonde due to the skills of her hairdresser. Bleach that shit. She had surgically enhanced breasts. Big ol' fake mommy milkers. She worked out and had a narrow waist and a flat belly. The way he talks about her, I feel like this guy is writing this is old. Her hips were quite wide, but she carried the wide hips and large breasts well, as everyone does, because that look is hot as fuck. I'm sorry, I got lost in that for a second. Because she was tall and had a relatively large rib cage, thanks, doctor, which balanced her wide hips. Oh, you think? Good thing. Otherwise, she'd have to have them shaved down surgically. What is this? This is so weird. She wore makeup skillfully and had pierced ears, pierced nipples, a pierced navel, and rings in her pierced inner labia. Pierce, 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 pierce. I wish their last name was Pierce. Sometime after they discovered that they would not be able to conceive children, they high-fived, because fuck that shit. They discussed the role of sex in their marriage and came to the conclusion that, well, for most couples, a primary purpose of marriage and sex was to have children. That is not correct. And preserve the family as a unit. You are incorrect there. Again, but okay. Go off with your weird view. That need not be the case for them. Oh, they have a case of I'm special syndrome, you know. They're not like the other couples. They don't want to have kids. Wow, they're special. I mean, who gives a fuck? Just have your childless sex. No one cares. Have fun. Who doesn't love sex that doesn't include children after? Like everyone in the world. So you're not special in that regard. Everyone loves to bang. Well, unless you're ace. If you're asexual, fucking good for you. Do you? Everyone's not asexual. Loves to fucking bang. It's, you know, we're made to. It's because you're supposed to want to procreate, but it's totally legitimate not to. In fact, more so nowadays than ever before. If you wanted to be special, go back to the 1950s and say, I don't want to procreate. Then you'll actually cause a stir. Don't act like you're special now, bitch, because that's like a lot of people I know aren't procreating. It's normal. But all right, you're special. You're specialer than the rest of us. Congrats. We're all desperate for babies and marriage, unlike you, who's too cool for that. So fucking cool. That's the primary purpose of marriage. If gay couples, you best be adopting right now and preserve your family as a unit. If you are not adopting, you're not doing your primary purpose of marriage. As such, they give you sex as more of a recreational activity. What the hell? Everyone views sex as a recreational activity. Even if you're like in a marriage, doesn't a married couple still be like, that's like any relationship, right? Like if you're in a relationship, even if you're trying to have a kid, it's not like you're not banging outside of, I mean, maybe if you're super religious, you're not banging, you're banging even if you're not like actively trying to, I don't know. Maybe I just have a wrong view of what marriage is and I'm completely incorrect. The people who have been married, tell me below if that is what happened. If you were just desperate to only fuck for procreation and then have kids by the dozens and desperately collect your cult of children. So you have enough to fight the FBI when they come and raid your cult. It's just what this is sounding like to me. I'm just saying. This is weird. Okay. As such, an alternate way to have marathon sex that would bring Carol to the point of sexual exhaustion would be to invite another person to join them. Carol, you voracious slut. As they considered what type of a person this might be, a fucking horny one, they considered that a young man right out of high school, oh, you dirty, dirty sluts, you're taking advantage of a child. Go on. Does he have a big dick? And still needing an education to productively enter the workforce might be, okay, it's making you sound like you're going to blackmail this poor bastard. Like, hey, let's get a vulnerable young kid who has a lot to lose. This way we can blackmail him to do what we want. That's what it's sounding like. Like, oh, good, he's easy to manipulate? Gross, you don't say that part out loud. And still needing an education to productively enter the workforce might be a good candidate to manipulate. This is not healthy if you're in a relationship like this in real life. I mean, unless you realize this is total power play, don't engage in that shit. That's unhealthy. It would be hard for him to compete with Ted as a breadwinner and an equal partner in a marriage. He would not be of an age where he wanted to settle down, and they knew from their own experience that there were young men out there, good young men, who were not that flashy in high school. They were too timid to go on dates, afraid to ask girls out because they felt inadequate. And now, yeah, they want the author. They want you, listener, you. They were too timid to go on dates, afraid to ask girls out because they felt inadequate. Fucking same. And now that they were out of high school, they were feeling even more inadequate. They were afraid that any girl they asked for a date would be more advanced in their sexual experience than they themselves. They were afraid that any fumbling attempts to move forward with a girl would be rebuffed or held in derision. Some of these young men felt like they were on a downward spiral. They were afraid to date because they were inexperienced, so they didn't date, and thereby forfeited any chance of gaining experience. Such men felt lost and hopeless. This sounds fucking sad. You're taking advantage of these people. If Ted and Carol could identify such a guy and offer to teach him how to become a skilled lover, if the Gary Sue writing this is that man, they would be doing the young man a favor. If then the young man would join Ted and Carol in a marathon sexual session, every now and then bringing Carol to the point of complete sexual exhaustion, that would be a win-win situation. And so it was that over the past 18 years or so, Ted and Carol had taught a number of young men and a few young women about how to please their partner and receive pleasure from their partner. These young men had joined Ted and Carol a few times for marathon sex, and also to give Carol the unique sensation of a double penetration. I swear, are they ever going to actually, like, get to sex again? But the best-laid plans of mice and men sometimes go astray. After Ted and Carol had changed their thinking about sex and were treating it as more of a recreational activity that they enjoyed with one another, but which also occasionally involved other people, they were asked by some of Ted's relatives to consider adopting twin children whose parents had been killed in a tragic accident. They better not fuck those kids, that's all I'm saying. Ted and Carol were the right age for bringing up the children and were established in their careers. Furthermore, Ted and Carol's last name was the same as the children's last name. That's fucking weird. Why did you add that? That doesn't even make sense. That's so strange. Okay, I don't believe you, but sure. It's so random. So adoption wouldn't change their names at all. How coincidental. The children's grandparents really liked this idea. After careful consideration, they choose the family based on the last name. That's a pretty lazy choice. Like, oh my God, one less piece of paperwork, done. Oh, he's a child molester. Don't care. Already signed the papers. Your problem. These sound like a couple ready for kids, considering how much they fucking high-fived each other over the fact they didn't want kids. After careful consideration, Ted and Carol said, in quotes, "Yes, that's just it." Thankfully, they had to tell us it was exactly yes with a period as quoted and not just they said yes. Thankfully, they just said yes. Will you take these kids? They call them up 2 months later. Hello. And she's just like, yes. Like, what? I'm sorry. What is this about? Yes. Yes. Oh, God, Carol, you're on drugs again, aren't you? Still, those grandparents really want to get rid of those twins, so you could have them. But the toothpaste was out of the tube as far as recreational sex and involving other people was concerned. What a strange fucking way to say that. Ted and Carol would just have to be thoughtful and careful in the way they involved others. Apparently they can't stop fucking high school students. They already, once you end up coercing a couple 18-year-olds to fuck you and your husband, you can't stop. They're like Pringles, the singles, but like, you know, fucking kids that you know you can manipulate because you're a creepy bunch of, like, 40-year-olds, but whatever. The story that follows, oh, thank fuck, we're finally getting to it. This is just the introduction. I hate it. The story that follows was precipitated by an event that happened this summer after Ted and Carol's adopted children, who now have names, they're Tommy and Sarah, had graduated from high school. Oh my God, they're gonna fuck the kids. I just know it. What the hell? This is so fucked up. You don't fuck your adopted kids. Oh my God, they were babies. This is so fucked. This, Tommy and Sarah graduated from high school, so their predator-ass parents were like, time to even ruin this relationship because we're so addicted to sex, we can't leave our fucking kids alone to pursue relationships with any of the other human beings on Earth they could fuck. Fantasy aside, that is so beyond fucked up, and Ted and Carol need some goddamn therapy, and fucking Tommy and Sarah need to run far, far away from these predators. Anyway, let's just ignore the messy psychological reality of an actual situation like this. Like, if you're in a situation like this, please help. This is not normal. Fucking just warning, warning, warning. Anyway, aside from that, now we're going into fantasy land where this is okay. This is okay. It's okay. Asterisk. Well, I'll play pretend. It was a Saturday. And Tommy had gone out to spend some time with his friends. Oh, maybe they're not. Oh, thank fuck. Maybe they won't fuck them. Maybe they just fuck the friends. Andy and Greg. They picked some real sexy names here. Who had also recently turned 18. One of the characteristics of the house in which they lived was that it was heated by forced air. The forced air ducts conducted sounds from one room to another. The sounds were not evenly distributed throughout the entire house. However, tell me more about the ductwork in their home. I'm so wet now, you guys. Fortunately, the children could not hear what went on in their parents' bedroom, unlike me, who could hear everything and remains traumatized. But it did occur at times that when Carol was preparing supper in the kitchen, if Tommy had friends in his room and Carol was working by the sink, she could hear some of their conversations. She tried not to eavesdrop, but more than once she'd heard the boys refer to her as a M-I-L-F. So she had the M already, you know, because now she adopted. She got that M. Now that all the boys were 18 and Tommy would soon be going off to college, Carol decided it would be fun to turn up her MILFness just a little bit for their benefit. This is how it happened. Are you all ready? Okay, sweet. I'm ready. I'm so ready. Sarah was going to be gone all afternoon. Ted and Carol talked about what Carol had in mind for the boys, and Ted conveniently went over to his parents' house to do a brake job on his dad's car so he would be out of the way. The boys, Tommy, Greg, and Andy, had gone bowling, and Tommy had told his mom that he thought they would be back about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. At 2:45, Carol went into the backyard wearing one of her tiniest bikinis. That fucking slut, I swear I've seen this porn. She first put up the badminton net. Then she got out some... Oh my God, it's the mom from your fucking Helping Mom's Horny Friends. See, then she got out some garden tools. Oh my God, she's worse than I thought. She's gonna bang her own adopted son, you slut. And started weeding in a flower bed. I'm sorry, why would you weed in your tiniest bikini? I get it, it's for, like, porno purposes, but I was weeding one time and a black widow jumped on me. Like, I was wearing a shirt. If I was wearing nothing, I probably would have just died on the spot out of fear. Started weeding anyway, completely without fear of deadly spiders, like a fucking moron. Soon the boys came up the driveway to the gate that led to the backyard. There was a privacy fence all around the backyard, even across the driveway. As the boys entered the backyard, Carol feigned surprise, exclaiming, because now she's having a southern accent, "Oh my goodness, I've been so busy, I lost all track of time. Oh, I'm so embarrassed." It's a really bad one. "In front of you in just this wisp of swimsuit." And she got up from her kneeling position, making as though she was going to run to the house.
"That's all right,"
said one of the boys.
"It's such a hot day, it would be a shame for you to cover up just because we're here. Besides, I think it's a very cute swimsuit. He's got a boner. Don't you agree?"
He asked the other two guys. They both readily agreed because they also had big old boners.
"Well,
I do have to agree with you that it's hot out today, and you've walked all the way from the bowling alley. Can I offer you something to drink? Lemonade? Iced tea? She asked.
That'd be great,
was her reply. Carol walked across the back lawn and up into the elevated patio slash porch, which extended across much of the back of the house. Patio doors allowed one to go from the patio into the kitchen. Thanks. Carol climbed 3 steps into the patio. There she had a pair of 4-inch wedge sandals waiting for her. She put them on and then moved across the width of the patio to the patio doors. She reappeared shortly thereafter with 2 pitchers, one of iced tea and the other of lemonade, make some Arnold Palmer's, those are good, which she carried across the patio to a table near the steps that went into the yard. We now know the layout of their home. Get 'em, boys. Get 'em. Where the fuck was I? After setting them down, she returned to the kitchen, swaying her hips, which were only covered by the minuscule bikini bottom. She came back carrying a bucket of ice. Setting it down, she returned to the kitchen one more time. She came back with 4 glasses. All eyes were glued upon her as she walked back and forth upon the patio. She thought for a moment about saying, "Oh, I forgot the straws," as an excuse to make 4th trip, but decided that 3 trips were enough. The boys were still standing there in the backyard staring at her. She invited them up. Are you guys ready? This story is a lot of goddamn fucking buildup. Let me take a hit right here for a second. Mm-hmm. All right. It's still the second story. All right, let's continue. As they were drinking their drinks, one of the boys spotted the badminton net. "Let's play badminton," he said. Wow, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. But they quickly realized that there were 3 boys. One would have to sit out every game. Unless Carol would join them. Of course she would. And they could play doubles. Carol was glad to join them. That fucking slut. But asked them to wait a minute while she changed into shorts. And a blouse. Oh boy, I can't wait. The boys told her that changing was quite unnecessary, that they really appreciated the eye candy. That's ballsy in front of your friend's mom, but apparently he wants to bang his mom and has already made it known, which is why they're that vocal openly. After thinking it over, Carol countered that she would remain in the swimsuit if they would put on swimwear that she would provide for them and that they would be eye candy for her. This happens in a porn, and they're definitely gonna fuck. Hormones went out, and they consented to her terms. She went to her room and got out 3 very stretchy thongs. I love that they just have identical thongs laying around for the high school boys they have over all the time. That would stretch enough to hold the guys' equipment. She gave them privacy in the kitchen, and they came out both embarrassed and excited, wearing such brief swimwear. They played 2 games, switching partners each time. Their play was horrible because their attention was on Carol, who had to repeatedly adjust her breasts in her small top, quote,
to avoid a wardrobe malfunction.
They broke for another glass of lemonade or iced tea. Then Carol apologized for them. To them, she had made them wear thongs while she got to wear a bikini, although it was the smallest bikini any of the boys had seen in real life.
"If you can wear a thong, I should be willing to wear one, too," she said. With that, she removed the bottom of her bikini, revealing that under it, she prepared for it. She was like Superman. Underneath, she had dental floss microthong.
They played 1 more game as Carol moved around with just 2 triangles covering the centers of her breasts and a tiny triangle that covered not much more than her clitoris and its hood. Holy fuck, she's not even pretending then. Carol announced that she had to go in to begin making supper like a huge slut. But first, I guess they're having tacos. But first, she slipped on the wedge sandals and cleared the table of the pitchers, glasses, and ice bucket in three attention-revealing, riveting trips. She did put on shorts and a crop top to make supper. Oh, thank God, because she's, like, frying stuff and then grease splatters. Like, she's got so many burns from that already. She learned her lesson eventually, though. The boys went up into Tommy's room to change. As he prepared—as I can fucking talk. Oh, my God, barely. As she prepared things at the kitchen sink, she heard references to herself as being a MILF. Well, no shit. You wore a postage stamp and jumped around. I mean, it really doesn't take that much, but you really basically showed them everything. Now, just if it doesn't end in a four-way gangbang, I will be extremely pissed. At this point, Carol better be taking it in all of her holes, or I'm going to write a fucking complaint letter. All right? This fucking slut is asking for it, and I don't say that lightly. God damn, Carol, you thirsty-ass bitch. All right, where am I? Carol announced that she had to... Oh, yeah, here we go. Then there was a very quiet time after Tommy announced that he had some pictures of his mom on his computer. She can hear him saying that, oh my God, what a fucking slut bag, and asked if anyone would like to look at them. They were evidently looking intently and stroking those bones, if you know what I mean. So far the introduction. It is now October. My God, that was a long... She just did nothing about it? Okay. Tommy has gone out of state to college. Andy is attending an in-state college but is living on campus. Greg is attending a local college, as is Tommy's sister Sarah, and is living at home. We've introduced all the characters that will be banging his mom. Out of the blue, Tommy received an email from Greg. It burns when I pee and I blame your mother. No, that's not it. In it, he wrote a few things about how life was treating him and asked about Tommy's experience at college so far. But then he wrote, could you send me a picture of your mom? Kind of pathetic, but... The next day, Tommy replied in kind, writing about his classes, his dorm, and his roommate. He finished by writing,
about the picture. I trust you want a picture, the likes of which you saw on my computer this summer, not my mom's passport photo.
That night, Tommy got a reply. You're funny. Tommy almost immediately replied to this.
Because you want a photo of my mom. I really feel like my mom is the one who should give it out. I feel pretty pissed if my mom had taken pictures of us in those thongs and without my permission had given one to a friend of Sarah who'd asked for it.
Wow, that's kind of... I mean, but, like, at least he's finally acknowledging that, like, sharing her pictures without her permission is shitty. So that's at least a step in the right direction. Let's see. I hope you understand. Sorry, my voice wasn't deep enough. I hadn't gone through puberty yet.
I hope you understand. Those photos are kind of sensitive. I've thought already that I may have made a mistake in showing them to you and Andy without Mom's knowledge or permission. I feel much more comfortable if you would ask her.
I mean, I can't believe a teenager would actually be like, yo, dude, totally tell my mom that, like, I showed her your, like, I showed you her naked pictures without your permission and she wants to bang her. Like, maybe because your mom's a huge slut in a micro bikini, that will work. But I promise for most people, they'd be fucking horrified. That's such a violation of trust. Anyway, but you know the mom would love it because Carol, she a huge slut and everyone knows. But if it wasn't Carol, if it was anybody but fucking Carol, fucking gives it out on a platter, roast beef platter, am I right? Goddamn, Carol, fucking handing it out on a micro bikini stamp. But there's way more than enough meat to go around with Carol. Fucking Carol. Swear to God, she'll have like five dogs on one steak, Carol. Shit. Everyone gets a piece of Carol. Mom, all right, that's your mom. Anyway, he at least acknowledges what he did was fucked, which is good.
I feel more comfortable if you'd ask her. I've seen my dad take plenty of photos of her, so she has them. And the more I have thought about it, the more I'm convinced that Mom had that whole afternoon set up. She liked us seeing her in that tiny bikini. Well, no shit, Sherlock. And if she did,
My guess is that she would be... She had you wear, like, a fucking Borat-style mankini. Like, how are you not... Hadn't you figured this out? My God, she really does go after the dumb ones, doesn't she?
She liked to sing her that tiny bikini, and if she did, my guess is that she'd be happy to give you a picture or two. Call her up some evening on her cell phone. XXXXXXXXXX. I really think you have nothing to lose and will probably get what you want.
Tommy got a one-word reply. Thanks! He didn't know whether this was sincere or sarcastic, but knowing Greg as he did, he decided it was sincere and almost put the request out of his mind. He had made it none of his business. It would be between Greg and his mom. But then, the next day, as he was walking back from class, he thought that maybe he ought to give his mom a heads up just to let her know the call might be coming. And to let her know that he, Tommy, had given her cell phone number to Greg. Carol wrote Tommy back and thanked him for the heads up and then went on to write,
Greg has always seemed to be a nice guy, polite, caring and responsible from what I saw of him. Am I reading him right? All there things I should be careful about.
There's no five-way banging of this mom yet, and I'm very disappointed. I don't know where the fifth person came from. Well, just a hobo. I have no idea. Tommy replied, Greg's a good guy. Andy is more fun-loving and adventurous than the one I would name as my best friend. Weird way to talk. But Greg is the one who had put in the brakes on when Andy was about to overdo it. And if I was ready to follow Andy's lead, if, for instance, you gave Greg an electronic photo of you and told him not to show it to anybody else, he wouldn't. He would not betray your trust. And he comes from a good family. You can feel comfortable with him. Greg, at first, just felt too comfortable about asking Tommy's mom... Oh, too uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. About asking Tommy's mom for a picture.
A revealing picture. A sexy picture.
He figured this was just a passing notion on his part, and after a while, the thought of having a picture of Carol in a bikini would not cross his mind anymore. But it didn't work that way. Well, no shit, you're horny fucking 18-year-old. Of course it doesn't work that way. You have to smash. What's the worst that could happen? Your bro literally gave you his blessing to ask his mom for a nude. Like, fucking ask. What's the worst that's gonna happen? She showed you... She wore a bikini covering everything but her clit, which is ridiculously small. There's no way... Nobody wears that for themselves unless they're just tanning. And she was doing it during badminton. These people are so slow, I'm surprised they know which side to hold the racket in badminton. I mean, oh my God. Like, she goes for the slowest swear. They don't know anything. She had them in mankinis flopping their dicks around for her. In her tiny little clit bikini. And they're just like, but does she like us though? She'd be, like, on their dick, and they'd be like, but does she think I'm hot? We all know people like that. Okay. Anyway, he couldn't stop thinking about the big old slut bag. No slut shaming, but we all know Carol is a big old... She bangs her own son. How could she? Anyway, he couldn't stop thinking about it. It didn't work that way. Weeks later, he was still wishing he had a picture of Carol. He almost wrote Tommy again. Admitting that he was too chicken and hoping Tommy would feel sorry for him and send him a picture. But in the end, he knew he wouldn't do that. If he wanted a picture, he'd have to ask Carol. He had her phone number, but he really felt that asking for a picture of her was something that he should do face to face. Just do it, you pussy! Can we have some action, please? But he couldn't just show up at their door. What if Ted would answer the door? He was not prepared to say to Ted, "Can I speak with your wife?" And what if Sarah answered the door? Sarah... He never told anyone, but if, why wouldn't you just be like, can I please talk to Carol? And then be like, hey, Carol, show me them titties. You don't have to blurt out, Ted, can I fuck your wife's titties? Like, you don't have to do it. Just because they give you a dumb voice doesn't mean you have to act stupid. He never told anyone, but if there was a girl he would like to date, it was Sarah. But she was gorgeous and popular and a cheerleader for crying out loud. She'd never hop on his dick. And he was just her brother's boring friend. He didn't stand a chance. What if Sarah answered the door? He'd run away rather than say, "Can I speak to your mom?" It took him a while to come up with a plan because he's a little pussy. He doesn't deserve the puss if he can't ask for the puss. Shame. Finally, close to Thanksgiving, Carol got a call.
Hello.
Is this Mrs. Watkins?
Yes, it is. To whom am I speaking? Which teenager is this? I have many on the line.
This is Greg. Greg, one of Tommy's friends. I've been over to your house a few times. Remember me?
Of course, Greg. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, going to classes. I see Sarah every now and then, although we're not taking the same courses. I'm looking forward to the little break for Thanksgiving. Oh my God, just get to it, you little... text her. Just be like, hey, titties, though. But I'm going to work Black Friday. I'm not looking forward to that. I hear it's one step away from being out of control.
That's what I heard, too. But I'm not a Black Friday shopper, so I do not know from experience. So what do I owe the pleasure of this call?
She's slapping her tits right now.
There's something I'd like to talk to you about, but I'd like to do it face to face. If I bought you dessert, would you be willing to meet me at a
chain restaurant
some evening this week?
Like, you can't even just say something. What do you think if you say Applebee's are going to come for you?
Calm down.
He's not willing to commit to what restaurant they go to. Like, you know your character's that little. Q&A, what restaurant would I go to? Why are you asking me so many questions? Get out of here.
I don't think it'll take much longer than it will take to eat dessert.
That's an offer that sounds too good to turn down, because my standards are so low.
It's a chain restaurant. I'm so impressed. Are we getting it the fucking dollar menu? What can we do?
What day and time did you have in mind?
Would the least exciting day of the day when of the week, Wednesday at 8 o'clock, work for you?
Of course it would. Her standards are rock bottom.
That would be fine. I'm not fucking anyone at that time. Is there anything you'd want me to think about ahead of time?
Does it burn when you pee? Are you transmitting it, and can it be protected and not shared with a condom?
No, just come with your sweet tooth.
Oh my God, are you an 80-year-old woman?
Will do. Thank you. See you Wednesday at 8. Goodbye.
That evening, Carol talked with Ted. Carol was pretty sure that she knew what the topic of conversation would be. Ted, always thinking of his hot wife, said with a twinkle in his eye,
"What are you gonna wear?"
That's how I like to imagine him. Carol twinkled back, knowing Ted loved dreaming up hot outfits for his wife, and said,
"I don't know. Do you have any ideas?"
Ted did. Carol would knock Greg's socks off. That was her fetish. Straight off. Carol pulled into the well-lit parking lot at 7:55, hoping Greg would be there already. She pulled to a parking space close to the far corner of the almost empty parking lot. She shut off the engine and looked for Greg. He was there, standing by the entrance to the restaurant. Carol slowly got out of the car. She was wearing a black, long-sleeved catsuit. It fastened around her neck, but then in the front widened out into an O, which dropped to just below the bottom of her boobity boobs. It was wide enough that it exposed her breasts almost to her nipples. She wore her sled outfit. Where are you going in that sled outfit?
To Walmart.
The cat suit was made of a stretchy and shiny material. Is it a goose suit? Muscle goose suit? Because Carol was fairly tall, her height pulled the front of the suit into her vulva, showing off a distinct camel toe. That is a camel no. In back, it was so tight that the center seam pulled into her crack, so that each cheek of her ass was clearly defined. Helping with that was also a wide black leather belt, which she wore tightly around her waist. My God, she must look like a hot fucking mess. A huge latex camel toe? I mean, being a woman who has, a tall woman, who has tried on outfits that give a camel toe, it is a camel no,
It is not comfortable. That shit is not cute. If it is your fetish, talk to your partner. Don't buy the latex camel toe outfit. Buy yourself a onesie that fits the ladies. Like, you're good. How long are you going to wear it? You're going to get a labia rash. That shit's not normal. We all know Carol's packing the meats. Anyway, don't do it, Carol. Let it breathe. Anyway, each cheek of her ass is clearly defined. Her butthole is also not having any favors done to it. It's just getting rubbed raw. And you know Carol's souls have seen so much action, they need all the comfort they can get, but she just refuses to let the holes have a rest. Carol, you're a trooper. She is one of the COVID essential relief workers. Just straighten that pussy, pound, pound, pound. Always wear a mask and wrap it before you tap it, because Carol has seen some places. I'm sorry, I'm just on a fucking go. All right, Carol, we're talking about her camel toe. I don't know why we are, but here we are. Camel toe. She had a big-ass buckle. She loves a big buckle around her waist. It was in order to emphasize her relatively small waist and flat abdomen. The top was so tight that one could see the barbells that adorned her pierced nipples. As she walked across the parking lot, one could not see the top of her catsuit, for she wore a soft black lambskin peplum-styled jacket, which also nipped in at her waist. What a weird fucking outfit. However, the deep V of the collar gave one ample view of her cleavage, for she had them big old titties. On her feet was a black pair of knee-high boots with 4-inch heels. Long earrings dangled from her ears, and her blonde hair cascaded in ringlets down to the middle of her back. She put on makeup the way she would if she were going to a nightclub. She carried a small clutch purse. I don't give a fuck about her purse. At first, she was so far away that Greg was not sure that the vision walking toward him was Carol. Is he going blind? But from the moment he laid eyes on her, he could not look away. And as he drew closer, he realized that this was Carol. Yes, we know. As Carol drew closer still, she tried to remain in the light as much as possible. She put a gentle sway into her hips as she encouraged herself. Work it, Carol. When she got to the entrance, she extended her hand and said, Hi, Greg. Good to see you. Greg was speechless. He was almost trembling as he was confronted by this vision of confident sexuality. Do I need to wear a bikini for you to recognize me? She asked with a smile on her face.
No, Mrs. W.,
he finally began to say, because he's still going through puberty, of course, they go after children.
Call me Carol, she interrupted. After all, we're all adults here.
She continued, using a line that the boys had used on her to keep her in their bikini that one summer day.
Let's go in. It's chilly out here, even with a jacket on.
Greg wanted to say,
You look really hot to me,
but quickly decided against it because he's a pussy. He followed Carol up to the hostess, and there he got his voice back.
There are just the two of us, and we would like a booth with a little bit of privacy if you can.
The hostess showed them to a booth toward the back of the restaurant and left them with menus.
Would you help me off with my jacket?
Asked Carol. I cannot believe this bitch went into a restaurant like that. Holy shit, they did not ask to be part of your fetish, Carol. You fucking whore. This is not a seafood restaurant. You're going to stink up the place. That's a little harsh. I'm sorry. Greg tried to keep his eyes on Carol's face as he approached her, but couldn't help looking down at her cleavage. He moved behind her and took her jacket off of her shoulders. She turned around to take it from him, giving him his first view of the front of her catsuit. She could tell he was stunned, as their waitress will soon be. Holy shit. For a moment, she questioned in her own mind whether she'd gone too far.
Yeah. Is this too over the top?
She asked.
No!
Greg said, much louder than he intended. Carol moved to sit down, placing her jacket on the bench beside her. Greg moved to sit across from her.
No!
He continued.
This time a little more softly.
You're a beautiful woman. I'm just not used to being with a beautiful woman.
I'm probably a beautiful woman that exists in real life.
Trying to deflect the compliment a little bit, Carol said,
I try.
No, it's more than just trying.
And Sister Greg,
your mom, Tommy's mom. But even if my mom would try, as you say, she would not be a MILF like you are.
Why are you thinking about your mom here, kid?
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Mrs. W. Carol? I didn't mean to call you that. That's so crude and vulgar and insensitive and...
No need to apologize, said Carol. I take it as a compliment. Like you say, it may be a little crude, but it still means that you find me attractive. Attractive enough that you want to fuck me. Think about it. If you heard girls saying they wanted to fuck you, would you take that as an insult or a compliment? It's a no-brainer. It would be a compliment even if it came from someone you did not particularly like. So I take it to be a compliment. Besides that, I like to fuck.
We know, Carol. We saw your outfit, you whore.
Fucking is fun. It is one of the few things that is pretty level all across society. Old or young, rich or poor, rural or urban, no matter what your race, color, or creed, fucking is enjoyable. Hallelujah, Carol, preach. So, if you find me to be a MILF, I'll take it as a compliment. I love being a MILF, and you know what? At work, some guys think that my mother is still a MILF.
What is she, like 80? G-MILF.
So I'm hoping that when I get to be her age, I'll still be a MILF too.
The waitress came up to bring them each a glass of water and to take their order. They turned to the back page where the desserts were listed. Carol ordered a cup of coffee and a hot fudge sundae. Greg ordered a piece of cherry pie a la mode and a glass of milk. As the waitress left to get the order, Carol leaned in toward Greg, giving him an even better view of her tits as she raised them up to rest them on the table. I like to imagine they're huge. She got to heft them up like a big old sack. Just whump. Like shakes. The whole fucking restaurant shakes.
But I've been doing most of the talking. On your dime, so to speak. What's on your mind? What merits my getting this hot load, hot fudge sundae? Hot fudge sundae.
It's hard for me to put into words
without coming in his pants, he means. Greg said, now that he was sitting right across from her.
Come on, Greg, said Carol. Any friend of Tommy's is a friend of mine, as I remember it. That Saturday in my backyard, we weren't hiding much from one another. You don't have to be afraid of me. Just say it.
Okay, here goes. Promise me you won't get mad at me,
asked Greg the little pussy.
Promise, said Carol.
Okay, you already know I think you're a very attractive woman.
A MILF, interrupted Carol.
Around me. Don't be afraid to say it. I love it. Don't jump up on the table and start shouting it, but call me a MILF. That's much more complimentary to my ears than attractive woman.
Okay, you're a MILF. More than that, a hot MILF. And I'd love to have a couple pictures of you like Tommy does.
He barely got the words out of his mouth. When Carol reacted in mock horror,
Tommy has pictures of me?
Oh, I'm so sorry, said Greg. Thought you knew. Well, maybe you didn't. They didn't look like you posed for them. Oh, shit, I've really screwed up. And
Carol interrupted.
Gotcha, and started chuckling. I know he has pictures of me.
In fact, I'm sure he has got pictures of me that you've never seen unless he shared pictures of our trip taking him to college.
Greg shook his head.
No.
We were in a state that allows women to go topless at the beach, and we were stopped off at a beach before dropping him off at college. Need I say more? So I know Tommy has pictures of me, said Carol.
Greg was getting hard.
Carol thought for a moment. If I gave you pictures of me, I would want them to be only for your private viewing. I would not want them posted online. If they show my face, I would not want you to show a picture of me on your computer or phone.
I mean, now I want to, because you're telling me not to, so.
Or a hard copy of the picture. If my face was not shown, I don't think I would mind if other people saw it. Does that sound reasonable?
Asked Carol.
Very,
said Greg. The dessert came and they started eating. After a few bites, Carol said,
There's a couple of ways you could get my pictures.
I mean, why don't you just send it to him, fucking bit.
My husband has taken thousands of them in all kinds of sexy attire. We could just pick out a few and give them to you. Or you could come over to the house and join us sitting around a computer looking at pictures. Ew, that's creepy. They're gonna rape you. Don't go to rape house. And when you see one you like, we could send it to your phone. Oh, we have a spot in our basement.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Run.
We have a spot in our basement that has pictures and lighting for taking pictures. I could get out a few bikinis, some lingerie, maybe a party dress or two, and a few more sexy outfits. You could pick out the ones you like. I could change into them and you could take your own pictures. Think about it. You don't have to make up your mind now. Just think about what you prefer and let me know. You have my cell phone number.
That's fucking weird. That's weird. Why are you having him come to your house, you fucking weird ass?
I really like to try taking my own pictures, said Greg. Bought myself a nice camera a few years ago and have taken some nature photos.
Wow, that's hot.
And some candid photos of family gatherings, but I'd love to try taking pictures of you. It'd be my first attempt at taking pictures like that. Glamour photography.
It's not glamour photography. You're shooting your pussy, dude. It's not glamour photography.
Maybe your husband could even give me some pointers.
Dude, this is so cringe. You want her husband to give you photography pointers on shooting his wife's nudes. My guy, you are focusing on the wrong aspect of this. You should not be excited about the photography skills you will be learning. What about the titties, though? If my pictures don't turn out, I could still try picking out some pictures your husband took, couldn't I?
Certainly, but here it gets a little sticky.
I bet it's really sticky.
Well, there's nothing wrong with you taking pictures of me. I feel like it's none of Sarah's business to know that you're doing that. So I'd like to do it when she's not around. When she's away at class or at cheerleading practice or something like that. I have a schedule at home. I'd like you to email me what times you'd be able to come over. I'll compare that with the schedule of my schedule and try to find a suitable time. Does that sound good? Asked Carol.
Excellent, said Greg. Carol opened her clutch purse and got out two small pieces of paper and a pen. These people are from, like, old-fashioned times, holy shit. She wrote a cell phone number and email address on one sheet and passed the two sheets and the pen to Greg.
Give me your email and cell phone, she said.
You know my fear, you guys? This point in the story, I'm afraid they're not going to fuck at all. I'm afraid no one's going to fuck in this story. I'm afraid this entire story is build up with no payoff. I'm afraid we'll never get to hear Carol get all her whole stuff, which would kind of sound like, but I still want to hear it, you know? I have fear. I'm afraid. But okay, we're going to continue out this story, and this will be the end of this episode because it's been very long, and there's been like no sex happening in this sex story. Although, to be honest, I've been enjoying it just to make fun of Carol, the fucking slut. My God. Anyway, the fucking slut, though, am I right? Like, but to be okay, I say she's a slut, but if she's not banging Tommy, why did you even bring it up? You got me all geared up to be angry at the salacious whore to seduce her own son, and it's not even going to happen. Shame on you. I got a rage boner for nothing. You're giving me rage blue balls. I don't like it, Carol. You're so disappointing in every aspect. First, you were molesting boys and you were going to molest your son, but you didn't molest your son, and I'd already expected it. Very disappointing. God. All build up, no payoff. Ugh. But then again, if she ends up fucking with, I'll just look stupid. There's just not a lot of this story left, and I'm concerned that we've spent 3/4 of this discussing what a slut she is and yet not getting the intricacies of her sluttery, which I think we can all agree is kind of the most important part of the non-safe work. Like, the buildup is hot, but you need a hot, creamy load payoff all over her face, chest, and them big old salacious titties, which we need to hear more about. How big them nips is he going to get the mouths on him? There's so many mouths. So many mouths and not enough nipples. What will happen? Not, well, probably not here, because of course this has bad reviews, because if it got Carol stuffed in all the holes, it'd probably be way higher up, right? I want to see Carol get it after all this, but she won't. Anyway, very disappointing. Kind of makes me want to write a not safe for work where Carol gets in all her fucking holes. Anyway, Carol, a salacious slut, gets in all her holes in erotic roleplay. I don't know if I can just call it erotic. I feel like that's too classy a term for a story like that. But God damn it, Carol. You have it coming. You had it fucking coming. Anyway, she got the email and the cell phone. They were about done eating, and Greg thought they were almost done with their conversation. The waitress came with the bill, but Carol said, "I'd like another cup of coffee, please." Turning to Greg, she asked him, "After that cold ice cream, would you care for a hot cup of coffee?" "No sex, he wants sex." Greg sensed that something was up and said, "That sounds really good. Is it code for banging in the bathroom?" "Here for it." The waitress replied, "I'll be right back with another cup and more coffee." And she was. She took the bill, having to add the second cup of coffee to it. As soon as she was gone, Carol said, "Now I have a question for you. Do you like fucking?" Greg met her eyes with a blank stare. The waitress came back with the bill and laid it on the table. "Can I get you anything else?" she asked.
"Not right now," said Carol. "But if I put my cup near the edge of the table, you'll know I like a refill."
"Okay, bitch. Why don't you snap for her?" The waitress left.
"It's a fair question," said Carol.
She leaned forward, resting her massive titties on the table again.
"After all, you called me a MILF. A mom you'd really like to fuck. I'm just asking you if you'd really are sexually active or just wish you are."
Greg was still silent. We heard his voice. We all know the answer.
"Okay," she went on. "I see you're not ready for full disclosure yet. Here's the deal. When I was your age, I'd never fucked anyone at all. And when Ted was your age, he had never fucked anyone at all. We did not fuck until the day we got married. And it worked out well for us. I have no regrets, although I did have regrets before I met Ted. I thought the world was passing me by. It seemed like more and more people I'd gone to school with were either getting married or else have friends with benefits. To hear people talk, getting laid was just a part of dating."
How old is she now? I thought she got in a relationship young and then she raised him for 18 years. How old is this bitch? Like 72?
"Okay, I see you're not ready for full disclosure yet."
She's old now. Deal with it. She'd never had any of the sex back in the 1920s when she was young.
Let's see.
To hear people talk, getting laid was just a part of dating. But I'd never even come close, or come, apparently. And if a guy would have asked me out on a date, I would have been terrified that he would try something I was not ready for. Or maybe I would even want to have our date turn sexual. But I would be so inexperienced that I would do something really dumb, and word would get out about how I didn't know what I was doing with a guy. And Ted was in pretty much the same boat. Fortunately, circumstances brought us together, and once we decided that we were going to get married...
God, I hate doing this voice for this. Oh, I've doomed us all.
We bought books and videos and really studied up on sexual relations.
This is gonna be hard.
Sexual techniques. How to give pleasure to our partner and how to receive pleasure from our partner. So our first night we were ready and tried to use the skills we'd read about and studied. Sex has been pleasurable for both of us from day one.
Liar. Okay, whatever.
But there are some people, unmarried and married, who've not learned how to play. It's Scientology.
I'm betting.
To pleasure their partner, how to receive maximum pleasure from their partner. For them, sex is not that pleasurable, and it won't be unless they take the time and make the effort to learn.
Yeah, she had one whole day of study. Oh, amazing! You really worked really hard, bitch.
That's my story. And that's how I've become the MILF I am today. So while you say I am a mom that you would like to fuck, if I dumped a MILF in your lap right now, would you be comfortable with that? Or might you feel inadequate to the task, or like a fish out of water, or not up to the challenge?
Well, in the interest of full disclosure, said Greg, I'm in the same spot you were at my age. I'm afraid the world is passing me by. Okay, I can't keep doing that crazy voice for the old lady. Sorry. Normal voice again. Or southern voice. Ow, my vocal cords. Carol continued.
In that case, there is a possibility that what happened to Ted and myself could happen to you. You may find a girl who's also afraid that life is passing her by, and the two of you hit it off, and you hold off having a sexual relationship until after you get married. It worked for us, but in the 20 or so years since Ted and I got married, it seems that fewer and fewer people are waiting for marriage before they let things get sexual.
Bitch! Are you honestly... Okay, hold on. You are telling me, you, Carol, the paragon of slutty slutness, is the one people should be listening to. Carol, wearing a clit-covering bikini in front of her fucking adopted son. Carol, who fucks everybody who is fucking emotionally unaware child. Carol, fucking slut, Carol. You're the one being like, oh, people don't wait until they get married, because if they waited, surely they'd have the ideal relationship like I have, banging barely legal adults constantly while my creepy husband agrees. Yeah, you have the winning fucking formula, you crazy bitch. Good goddamn, you're gonna pull a rant out of me, Carol, you fucking hypocritical cunt. Alright. Oh, where was I? Fucking Carol. Wish your name was Karen. It would have fit way better. Anyway, we've been married for 20 years. She was worried she'd be an old spinster. Carol is an old-ass bitch confirmed. But she got a big old tit. She fucking hangs on the table. How low are them girls? I don't have tits that hang on a fucking shelf, Carol. How low your tits you can hang them on a table, Carol? Is it a high-ass table or some low-ass titties? I think we know the fucking answer, Carol.
Bitch. Anyway, sorry. Just had to roast a Carol. I had to.
Carol. Fucking Carol.
So all I'm saying to you is that you feel like the world is passing you by. Ted and I might be able to help,
said Carol, the massive whore.
How would you do that?
Asked Greg.
Well, we could loan you some of our books and videos.
Oh, God, no. Wear gloves if you touch them.
And try to give them to you in order that we think we would be the most helpful. And if, when watching those videos and reading those books, you had questions, you could ask us and we could try to answer them for you. Or we could teach you ourselves,
said Carol, the predator.
You can just think about it. Here, hand me that slip of paper,
she said.
I'll give you Bob's phone number. He was once in the same boat as you are now, but we met him and he chose to have us teach him. See what he has to say.
But at least she has references.
But it's totally up to you.
If this bitch you are banging has references, run. How fucking experienced is she? Do you have a resume I can read? Holy shit. Fucking family tree. Oh, God. Like, insane. Let's see. She banged Bob already. It's Bobbing, all right.
It's totally up to you. If you don't want to borrow books or videos and don't want us to teach you, we can still meet for you to take pictures of me.
That's a trap. That is a trap. You are entering a cage and she will never let you go. You have to stick your dick through the fucking glory hole in order to get your dinner. Do not trust that bitch. She wants you for her toy. You all sick fucks would like that. You know what? Never mind. Y'all would run into that cage. Anyway, Carol finished up her coffee.
It's so good. Anything else I can do for you tonight?
She added.
No,
answered Greg.
You've offered more than I'd hoped for.
Not me. There's been not enough sex.
For months I've been afraid to ask you, but you made it easy for me.
And I guess it's time for us to leave,
said Carol as she picked up the bill, leaving a tip. Oh, she tips. Good for her. I hope it was a good tip. Greg needs to leave the tip. More than the tip. Yeah, baby. Greg started to object, but Carol stopped him by saying,
put your arm around me and walk me to the door.
I feel like she's holding a gun to him.
Slowly. No sudden movements.
Carol was carrying her own jacket. When Greg put his arm around her waist, she moved his hand to her ass.
That feels better,
she said, and gave him a short kiss on the lips. They walked to the cashier. Greg was about to remove his hand when she reached back and held it there. Well, yeah, she's got a gun. You better not make any sudden movements. Carol paid the bill and then asked Greg to help her on with her jacket. Once the jacket was on, she did not button it. She kissed him again. They walked into the foyer.
Arm around me,
she said, and he put his arm inside her jacket and his hand back on her ass. As they walked out into the parking lot, Greg felt Carol's hips gently undulating like the sea under his hand. Well, they didn't say like the sea, but they should have. They walked right past Greg's car. He would not let Carol walk to her car alone. Well, yeah, he's under duress. When they got to Carol's car, he looked around and inside the car quickly just to make sure that Carol was safe. Yeah, because I watched this one movie, Urban Legends, and there was that guy with the hatchet, you know, based on that urban legend. Anyway, he's probably seen the same shitty movie and was like, dude, the hatchet guy. Anyway, he wasn't there, so she was safe, unfortunately. But what a twist that would have been if she, like, banged the hatchet man to get free.
Please, hatchet man, I'll do anything. Please don't give me an axe wound. You can look at my axe wound.
Sorry. Oh, that was terrible. Okay. Let me go past. The story's almost over. There's no sex. I fucking called it. Carol, you never feel the disappointment, you fucking whore.
Oh, I can keep it together. Carol, you bitch.
This is the least sexy, not safe for work, sexy fucking audio ever. If it wasn't for that long, dark dick, it'd be practically not safe for work at all. It'd be too safe. Anyway,
Oh, let's see. He wouldn't let Carol walk the car alone. When they got to Carol's car, he looked around and inside the car quickly just to make sure that Carol was safe. Then Carol moved in front of him and using both hands, pulled her tits out of the top of her catsuit. She reached out up around Greg's neck and told him,
"Both hands on my ass and pull me tight."
As he did that, she said,
"I can feel your heart on. Maybe I am a MILF you'd like to fuck."
And she pulled his head to hers, their lips met, and she kissed him and held it there until he relaxed a little bit, enough to enjoy and return the kiss. At the end of the kiss, she pulled her tits back into her catsuit and stepped back. She placed the fingers of his right hand against her pussy.
"Feel that wet spot?"
she asked.
"You're not the only one who's ready to fuck."
But not in this story, fucking disappointment. She unlocked her door and got into her car.
"Good night, Greg. Thanks for an enjoyable evening. Keep in touch. Give me a schedule as soon as it's convenient. Sweet dreams."
She started her car, waved Greg, blew him a kiss, and drove off. He doesn't remember driving home or getting ready for bed. He drove drunk again. Greg! Never learning his lesson. Just bad decision after bad decision getting involved with Carol. Driving drunk again to the point that he's blacking out during these drives. And why does he keep coming home covered in blood? He needs to start recording himself again, I swear. Greg. He does remember having the most intense orgasm of his life as he jerked his cock and thought about Carol, the mom he'd love to fuck. That was an incredible disappointment, Greg. Just like Carol and her viewpoints, which were strangely conservative for being a gigantic whore. But I actually enjoyed the fuck out of that despite having not a lot of sex. I don't know how you guys felt. I had a great fucking time. I hope you did too. And I hope to hear you back here next week. I won't. But, you know, like in a hypothetical situation, I hope you fucking come back because I'll be back here too. And we'll talk then. And I hope you had a great time. And I kind of sort of did. A better time than fucking Greg did, who had to jerk his cock alone. Anyway, have a good night. Fuck you, Greg and Carol. And I'll see you guys next week. Love you. Bye. Mwah.